Here, now, we're on again, Justice Brennan.
Anyway, let me just conclude the thought, which was that, you know, do we want a president of the United States who is capable of killing, committing murder? And it's interesting to find that many people think that that is what they want. When you get right down to discussing it, they don't want a president who's too squeamish to commit crimes in the service of the nation. So every president has to deal with the question of when his or her conscience says no, and what do you do when either your official public duty or what the people expect of you, the kind of leadership that they expect or desire of you, are in conflict. And frankly, I think Kennedy's reaction was very correct. And so would anybody, any president, I think, worthy of his of being elected to that office, should say, when my conscience offends against my so-called public duty, I am going to follow my conscience. I'm going to either do what my conscience says, that if I can't do it and be consistent with my public duty, I will resign from the public office.
Well, in an adjudicative context, though, are you, is it the same thing, or in an adjudicative context, you have a controversy before you and it's come up in the right way and it has to be decided. It goes against your conscience. If it's decided one way, do you then decide it on the law or on conscience? Am I saying it right?
Do you see
it?
I think you raise an interesting question. Had I been on the court after Wade versus Roe, and I may have had a case like this, I don't recall, Roe v. Wade, had I been on the court and confronted with a literally a Roe v. Wade situation, okay, where somebody was making the exact same argument about the Michigan statute as Mrs. Roe had made about the Texas statute that led to the U.S. Supreme Court decision. Now the case is before me, or us, in the Supreme Court, and I am one out of seven people to vote on this issue. What is my public duty, and what is my conscience duty with respect to the thing? My first reaction is my conscience duty has no bearing at all on the thing, because if I don't have an argument on the basis of public policy and my proper role as a judge to make, then I can't decide. I can't say I can't vote to overturn this statute because I belong to a church that's against abortion, so I'm going to recuse myself from sitting on the case. I can't do that. And I don't have to do that because I could say very easily, regardless of what my church says, I'm sworn to do my duty, and this is the law of the land, and I'm sworn to uphold it, so I'm going to uphold it and be done with it. But there's a third thing that a person can do, and in my judgment should do, I would anyway, and that is this. The decision of the Supreme Court of the United States in the Texas case, while it's precedential, while it is guiding in the sense that it's something we should pay some attention to, it does not bind the Supreme Court of Michigan in another case. It's not res judicata, stare decisis, yeah, not res judicata. And stare decisis, the difference between those two things is very important, as you well know. They haven't decided the Michigan case yet. The Michigan statute may be different, or the court may want to review its decision in Roe versus Wade for one reason or another. Okay? So I'm sitting there and I'm saying, I'm going to decide this case according to what I think the law is under the circumstances. And I have as much right to interpret the federal constitution as the federal judges do. I'm sworn to interpret the constitution of the United States as well as the constitution of the state of Michigan. So I could very well write an opinion saying, I think the Michigan statute written in 1846 is valid. And say, there you are, gentlemen, there's my decision, and if you want to take it to the United States Supreme Court, and if they want to reverse me, just like they reversed the Texas judge, let them do it. And I think that is not an invalid thing for a judge to do. I think it may be somewhat controversial in the sense that a lot of people say, well, you know, you've got an obligation to follow the United States Supreme Court. I don't think it's a legal obligation. I think it's a kind of a traditional obligation.
A judicial officer sitting on an appellate court in a state then is in a different position, say, from an executive officer who is given the order of marshal or somebody to do this thing,
yeah.
And the guy either does it or not, and he's sworn to do what the marshal tells him, or you know what.
Yep. I think that's a good distinction.
Okay,
that's a good distinction.